All right, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. We're glad that you're with us, and once again, we want to open our Bibles and study from the Word of God some things pertaining to the grace of God and the Word of God rightly divided. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, there's a lot of people that have different ideas about what that is, and everybody makes certain divisions in the Bible. Your Bible is laid out in divisions, as a matter of fact, and you have the Old Testament, and then you have what is called the New Testament, and that starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which contain information pertaining the earthly ministry and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also his death, obviously. And then he is crucified, buried, raised again. And in the book of Acts, the early part of Acts, you have the disciples carrying out the great commission that they were given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's recorded up to about Acts 9 or 10. In Acts 9, the Apostle Paul, who is against the nation of Israel, having people put to death, is saved. And through that salvation is brought to the Gentiles through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "I am the Apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office." So from Acts 15, particularly from there on, Paul's first recorded messages in Acts 13. But after Acts 15, you don't even find Peter mentioned again, and the rest of the book of Acts is primarily about the ministry of Paul and his missionary journeys and so forth. The next 13 books you find in your Bible are Romans through Philemon, written by the Apostle Paul. And then we have what's called the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. Now, when you start talking to people about rightly dividing the word of truth, it's not very difficult to show immediately that Paul taught some things differently than what Christ taught and what the 12 taught in the early part of Acts. And I've just mentioned some briefly. We won't turn to the Scriptures for time's sake. But for example, Jesus Christ was preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, in relation to that, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. Paul, in the book of Thessalonians, said that if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Christ taught the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, he said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Paul said, Christ has forgiven us all trespasses. So we see a difference there. Jesus taught to the people that his disciples concerning prayer. He said, whatsoever you shall ask, you shall receive. He said, where two or three are gathered together, if they agree as on touching anything, they shall have it. Another promise pertaining to life in the kingdom. Paul said that he prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to be removed, and yet the Lord never removed it. So Paul did not have the same promises concerning prayer as the 12 did, and neither do we. Jesus Christ told the 12 to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them that believe. So baptism was part of their commission. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And you can go on and on with these comparisons. Now, the problem is when people see that, they can either acknowledge it and accept it, that Paul's writings were different in many areas. And by the way, there are multitudes of similarities and common beliefs, but there's also differences. And people many times will see that, acknowledge it, and rejoice in it. But there are those who will resist that. And I received a message this week, as a matter of fact, about that very thing. And this person had been asked the question, he had been showing somebody these differences and how Paul is our apostle, And he asked the question, he said, if Paul's teachings are different in these areas from what Christ taught, why would Paul's teaching trump what Christ taught? I thought that was interesting terminology. Apparently the guy plays cards. Why would Paul's teachings trump the teachings of what Christ taught? And so I wrote him back and I said, well, the question I would ask the individual is, why would Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John trump what Paul taught? And I began to think about that. And I want you to consider some things with me about that. We have the Word of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what you'll find and what we find today in this world is people either believe the Bible is the Word of God or they don't believe it's the Word of God. If a person does not believe the Bible is the Word of God, you have little grounds for discussion because there is no foundational truth. It's only opinion. But there are people who say they do believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they don't acknowledge the differences that we find in the Scriptures concerning what Paul taught versus what Christ taught and what the 12 taught. So there are several ways that people approach that. Some use other Bibles that take certain words and change them that make it easier to explain what Paul said and make it fit with what Christ taught and the 12 taught. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Most Bibles, other than the King James Bible, take out the of Christ and make Paul simply saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why is that significant? Well, because Christ said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Jesus Christ taught His disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul taught that there's going to come a day when those which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Peter never preached about the rapture, neither did Christ, only the Apostle Paul. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. Paul said in Romans 16 that he preached Jesus Christ and people to be established according to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Another area that they change is like in Galatians chapter 2, where there's the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. They change that to the gospel to the circumcision and the gospel to the uncircumcision, which again takes away the distinctiveness of the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. And there are several other places where, for example, study to show thyself approved unto God. You just need to look that one up if you're using another Bible other than the King James Bible. And more than likely, you'll find that your Bible doesn't say anything about studying. It'll say to be diligent or something like that. So there are many Scriptures like that, and that's the approach some people take. They use those Bibles and can kind of explain away some of these obvious differences. Other people take the attitude of, like a lot of people do today in different things, is if you don't agree with the message, just attack the messenger. And so they did try to discredit the Apostle Paul. Like when I was in school, in theological seminary, I never actually enrolled in a college, but they had extension courses, And I attended those in Birmingham, Alabama at Ruhama Baptist Church. And there was a professor, in the third week I was there, he said that the reason that Paul never got married was because Paul was probably a homosexual. So he attacked the messenger. Several months back, I read you a whole list of individuals who had written things about Paul and trying to discredit the teachings of Paul. So they attacked the messenger. And then there are those that simply try to explain away the differences and change the message. And make it say, well, what that really means is or they'll go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like when Christ gives some specific instructions and say, well, he didn't really mean that. That's not really what he was saying. Well, if it says it, that's what it means. The Bible means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. Now, my question is this. If a person is a Bible believer, and they say they believe the Bible, and they read the Bible, like I did some 40 years ago, whenever I came to understand rightly dividing the word of truth, I did so by simply reading the Bible. You see, I grew up in a system that we used little booklets. We used quarterlies, they called them. And they had lessons in them. And when we got through with church, with Sunday school, we took our Bible and put it in the car because we weren't going to need it during the church service. The preacher would preach, he'd use one verse of Scripture and then depart therefrom. And, you know, tell stories and illustrations and all that kind of thing. And so I didn't really learn the Bible. But when I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, somebody showed me that the King James Bible was the Word of God. And so I got me one and I began to read it. And lo and behold, I began to see that there was a difference. And began to learn that there were other men that believed that as well and studied and listened to tapes and so forth and found out those kind of truths. So a person that reads the Bible honestly and sincerely, believing the words mean what they say, they're going to see that there's some differences. You just can't help but see that. Paul said that he was given the gospel of the grace of God in Acts chapter 20. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says that he was given the dispensation or the dispensing of the grace of God. In Ephesians 3 verse 1, he said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now notice, "which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of promise in Christ by the gospel." So Paul makes it clear that he was given this information for us. And as I mentioned a moment ago, he says that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He says that twice in the book of Romans. He said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So here's the dilemma that people face. Those that say they believe the Bible is the Word of God. They get over to Paul's epistles and they begin to see things that differ. Things that don't go along with perhaps what they've been taught all their life in the religious system they're in or the church they're in. And so they're confounded by that. And so they do what I said a moment ago. They either change Bibles or they say that Paul was a flawed individual. I mean, I've heard many people say what Paul wrote, most of it was his opinion. And on it goes. And then the question came up, why is it that Paul's letters would trump what Christ taught? I think probably one of the greatest disservices ever propagated on people was putting the words of Christ in red, the red letter editions. And I have been asked, which include my own family, how in the world would you accept the words of Paul over the words of Jesus? You know what that's implying? That the words of Paul were not the words of Jesus. Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Look, if you will, in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 21. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Peter said, I think I gave you the wrong reference there. Let me look. See. Yeah, I'm in the wrong word. Well, I've got it down here. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, there's several things about the Bible. There's inspiration, there's preservation, and so forth. Inspiration is very important because that teaching is that every word of God is inspired of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice something here to me that is very important. In 2 Peter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. By the way, before I read this, one of the things that people many times come up with, and again, these arguments against Paul, some, and I have an article at home that said Paul's letter should be completely left out of the Bible. As a matter of fact, from what this article said, there is a Bible being written right now that will exclude the letters of Paul. That's interesting because Peter, whom nobody ever questions, says right here, verse 15, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles. So they were already considered epistles when Paul wrote, or when Peter wrote this, which was written about the same time as 2 Timothy, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. Now, here's the question I want to pose to people. I want you to consider this. If you say you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you believe every word of it is the Word of God, why would you try to exclude or diminish the truth of what Paul taught while accepting all the rest of it? I do not believe that a person can say they believe the Bible, really mean it, without believing all the Bible. So if there are errors in Paul's writings, why would there not be errors in the writings of Matthew? He was just a man. Say, well, he was recording what Christ said. Really? Well, he was. But how do you know he got it right? How do you know he didn't just insert his opinion in some of those things? I mean, that's what they say about the Apostle Paul. How do you know that Mark didn't take liberty and write what he wanted to write? I mean, when you try to compare the Gospels, there's times when things are not don't line up exactly right because it's a person giving the account, their own account. Like if four of us saw an event and we sat down to write about it, they wouldn't all come out exactly the same. Why don't you Question the writings of Luke. He wrote the book of Luke. He wrote the book of Acts. Why don't you question the writings of John? He wrote the book of John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. The Revelation. You see, folks, it makes no sense to say you believe the Bible and then turn around and question the teachings or the writings of one individual because they go against the doctrine that you've been taught all your life. The Word of God, the Bible says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Did you get that? Every word of God is pure. Except those written by Paul, there may be mistakes there. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's what men say. If you're going to believe any of it, you're going to have to believe all of it. In Psalms chapter 12, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. We have the completed Word of God. The pure Word of God. Every Word of God is pure. That means it's not defiled. Why is it pure? Because as Peter said, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Why would you trust the writings of Moses and not trust the writings of Paul? Why would you trust the writings of any Old Testament writer and not trust the writings of Paul? There must be an agenda. There must be something that people are trying to deny. And that's exactly the case. You see, it's in Paul's epistles that the gospel for you and I today is clearly stated. And Paul said that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Paul did not preach Acts 2:38 as Peter did, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Paul did not preach what Jesus told the man in Matthew 19 when he said, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. And he said, I've done that. And he said, then if you'll be perfect, go and sell what you have. Paul never said that. When Paul was asked a question in Acts 16, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul was committed to the gospel of the grace of God, the dispensation of the grace of God, and the way that the devil tries to confound that and confuse people today is to get them hung up on the teachings of Jesus and the early Acts period and all the sign gifts and the miracles and signs and wonders that we were talking about last week, rather than believing that every word of God is pure and it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it, whether Paul be the writer, Peter be the writer, James, Jude, or whoever it might be, every word of God is pure. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Turn back there to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. There's an amazing thing that Peter says before that verse 21. Look in verse 16. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's speaking of the transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And notice the next statement. Think about this. They actually heard, he says, this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And he goes on to say, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What's Peter saying? He goes on to say, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Did you know what Peter's saying there? Is that the written account is more reliable than what you hear with a voice. If you believe that God ever spoke to you audibly, I want you to consider that. If you say that God told you to do something and you can't find it in this book, in this Bible, then you need to realize it wasn't the Lord. It wasn't God speaking to you. God never told anybody to do anything that was contrary to His Word. And yet that's the big popular thing in most of religion today. Most preachers will stand in their pulpit and proclaim, God spoke to me, God told me this, God told me that. God never told anybody anything once the Word of God was completed other than through the Word of God. The words of God are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure. Every word of God is pure. And to deny that the writings of Paul have errors or his opinion or are not authentic is simply a denial of the Word of God. If you can't trust Paul, you can't trust any other writer, whether it be Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or James, or Peter, or Jude, or anybody else that wrote that became Scripture. We ought to praise God today that we have a completed Word of God. But we also should understand that the Word of God needs to be rightly divided. Everybody divides it somewhere. If you can rightly divide the Word of God, you can wrongly divide the Word of truth. And you don't want to do that, because it can end up in a disastrous result. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, the Bible says. And He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You want to be saved? Receive the gospel. Believe the gospel, and receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. And God will save you this very moment. I thank you for listening today, and I appreciate you tuning in. I hope you'll do so again tomorrow at the same time. And in the moment we have remaining here, as we go off the air, Brother Trey will be giving you information about how you can contact our church. But I would like to extend an invitation to you, if you live in Chattanooga or the North Georgia area, to come and be with us for our services at Grace Bible Church. We've got an assembly of folks there, and we would love to have you come be part of it, or to at least visit with us. Come and give it a try. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We have donuts and coffee, and then at 11 o'clock, our morning service, and then we're back on Sunday night at 6 p.m. If you need more information, you can give me a call. You'll be given the telephone number in a moment, and we would love to hear from you, and love to have you come visit with us at Grace Bible Church in Chattanooga. Thank you again for tuning in today, and I would encourage you to continue to study your Bible and to study it in the way that God instructed to about rightly dividing the Word of Truth.